The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 11th of February, 2019. On the podcast today, I have David Ciclatira, Executive Chairman of Live Company Group, LVCG is the ticker there, and David discusses their agreement with AWC, one of Germany's leading exhibition promoters, and their £2.2 million fundraise. Also on the podcast, Michael Masterman, Executive Chairman of W Resources, WRES. And Michael provides an update on their La Perla tungsten mine and them hitting a production milestone. Plus, it's a Monday, so Malky's here, oil and gas sector specialist, talking about the following companies: Coro Energy, Solo Oil and Gas, Aminex, Genel Energy, SDX Energy, Savannah Petroleum, Amerisa Resources, President Energy, and Anglo-African Oil and Gas. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, as always, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you can see plenty of other content, including an article on Live Company Group, and also SP Angel's Morning View, and Weekend and Morning Financial Press Roundup. That's voxmarkets.co.uk.
Are you tired of missing news about stock market companies you follow? The Vox Markets app helps investors stay ahead by making sure you never miss an important update. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Ciclatira, Executive Chairman of Live Company Group, LVCG is the ticker there. David, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
I mean, it's always busy for you. Every time I've chatted to you, you've been in different parts of the world. But today you've had two RNSs coming out, once about raising money and once about an agreement with AWC. Before we get into that, David, I don't want to assume everyone knows about the company, so I always ask for a quick summary. So can you explain for someone who's not familiar with the company what you're about, please?
Yes, Live Company is obviously what it is. It's a live events business. Its prime asset brand is the Brick Live. Brick Live is a global entertainment and education brand. Live Company owns all of the assets within Brick Live, including the brand, the title, everything. Recently, we bought a company called Bright Bricks, which is the largest production company in the world of Lego, has just under 70% of the market share, and that obviously is now our production hub for what we do with Brick Live.
Absolutely. Well, let's go into the first RNS that came out this morning, which was the agreement with AWC to provide Brick Live shows in Germany. Can you take us into detail here, David, and the significance?
Yeah, AWC is a genuine exhibition company. It's currently promoting Harry Potter. It's got record numbers off Harry Potter. It's promoted it in four countries in Europe, including France, where I think it had the record numbers in Paris. It is also promoting the Game of Thrones. Interesting enough, it has two permanent venues in Germany, one in Duisburg and one in Cologne. So it has its own venues, which are attracting thousands of people every single week. So that's obviously something tremendous. And there's its chairman, Andreas, is a like-minded person who's really taken with what we're doing at Brick Live, and the contract that we've signed is not just for Germany, it's exclusive in Germany, but it also is to help build a European platform for Brick Live brand.
Yeah, and take us through.
Do you want me to take you through the actual shows, Matt? Maybe helpful.
We're launching a show,
believe it or not, on the 9th of March. In Cologne. It is basically the show that's going off to Korea called Mythical Beasts. It's a show, but it's also an interactive show. It's got a lot of, so sort of Brick Live plus Mythical Beasts. That is in Cologne. That gets quickly followed by a thing called Brick Live Force, which is launching in Duisburg on the 14th, I think, or the 16th of April, I can't remember which, because this is the 20th year that basically Lego has had an association with the Star Wars brand. So this is a celebration of all Lego things relating to Star Wars. So basically 20 years, and apart from the United States, one's got to take into account that Germany is the second largest market for the Lego brand. It's also, when you get into Star Wars and everything that relates to that phenomenon, it's a very important area. So it's a sort of fan-based show using Brick Live. I think it's going to be hugely successful. And if it really works, that's something we can tour. And then in October, we have a thing called Brickosaurus, which is actually launching in Marwell Zoo in April. That is something I can't remember, 90 dinosaurs, of which there's a full-size T-Rex. We're talking twice the size of a London bus. That is launching for a minimum 3-month show in Cologne on the 1st of October. And then it's slated to go across Europe. So that's a kind of blockbuster-style show. So those are just the shows we've contracted to. We're also looking at potentially doing a show around Christmas time and other touring shows in Europe.
Yeah. So how long is the agreement for, and how many shows do you think a year will be doing?
It's technically for 4 years, the agreement, although it does have, for both parties, the chance after a year. One of those sort of things you always put in these documents. If it doesn't, if they don't, it's got a specific thing we have to do, which I'm sure we will do. So I look at it as a 4-year, but it's not just a deal, it's a partnership, because there's a like-minded attitude, and there are some things we're now working on, one particular show which we could do together, which could go global. So this is taking the Brick Live touring, because this is all really Brick Live touring shows, and taking to another level. I think it's very important for those, some of your listeners all of your listeners, including me, will obviously read every day about Brexit. So very importantly for us is that this is a company that's obviously German. It's also got its own warehouse facilities, etc. So we'll be moving before March 29th, we will be moving a European set and a series of things into Germany. So it helps transport-wise, it helps clearance-wise, obviously. It's very interesting because within 1 hour from Cologne, there are 30 million customers, both in the southern Netherlands, obviously Germany, the Ruhr Valley, etc. So it's a really interesting project, something we started at the end of last year, and I see Europe as something that is, it got left behind a bit last year, to be honest. We were running around doing China and America and this, that, and the other. But I think we're talking to a different group of people who will work with AWC for another 6 shows during the year. So I see, if I look at Europe and the UK, I see that pretty much as 20% of our revenue, which is kind of healthy, really, given that, you know, we're all over the rest of the world. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting because, obviously, like I say, you've got that logistical support there, the base there now, so that's very handy for you. So let's go into the second RNS. So you're raising money as well, 2.2 million. You raise it 65 pence with warrants there attached. Now, whenever you raise money, there's always going to be some people who raise an eyebrow thinking, oh, what do I do this for? Because I knew you are sort of, you made a profit in your last set of results. So people say, why are you raising money now? What's happening here?
Well, there's two things. First of all, it's about 2 million net, I think, of all fees and stuff. Yeah. I think it's really simple. One of the things that really, I guess I'd use the word shocked me when I got involved in Brightbricks. Brightbricks is now, we've restructured it all. It's now the production. It's i.e. built by Brightbricks. And the brand, outfacing brand, is Brick Live, whatever we do. But I found in Brightbricks, they have their own kit business, which is very interesting, and the ability to build and grow Brick Live touring. And they had these relationships with a couple of zoos in the UK. And these were really interesting, and because all these zoos have marketing budgets. They all need product. They all need something that relates to their content. And the Safari Animal Paradise that's happened has been quite extraordinary. And as I said, we're launching Brickosaurus in one of the zoos in the UK. Well, cut long story short, before we even started the year, we have 7 contracts for zoos for 2019. We're projected to do another minimum of 7. And how these things work economically, again, for your visitors, for your listeners, they're basically extremely high margin. The zoos are paying us a rental fee of circa sort of around about £50,000 a month. They are basically, it's a rate card, and we have more zoos than product. So that's obviously good. And margins are very high because we basically own this product. We supply the product, and we're talking, you know, 80% margin. And frankly, we've already rented out everything we have until probably Q4 2020. So here am I facing something that, you know, there are 400 zoos in America. We're launching our first American zoo in Brookfield, Chicago. When we ran the Dallas show recently, which I should talk about, was hugely successful for us. We had two different zoos come and see us and say, wow, because we had the Animal Paradise stuff there, can we get involved? And it's the same everywhere. It's like, you know, it's like knocking on an open door. We don't have enough, I guess, investment capacity to build as fast. Now, some of your listeners may say, hey, don't they own all these bricks and don't have all these people down at Bright Bricks? Yes, we have 45 builders and we have 100 million plus bricks, but we don't have the steel, and 50% of any of these animals is the steel, and the cost of the steel is quite expensive. So the whole purpose of this raise, which was put together rather quickly, was to give the company enough, if you like, firepower to immediately order another Brickosaurus, another Animal Paradise. We're launching a new show called The Ocean, Brick Live Ocean. All these things are important to build, and there's a three-month building process, even if you pay yourself to do them. So it was necessary to get going. What was really unique about this raise is that I phoned some of our existing shareholders, and I'm not talking, Mighton did follow through, I'm talking about retail shareholders who've been involved with this company. As you've probably seen, I invested myself, and I'm proud to say that about 4 or 5 people have put in similar sums of money, and this is amazing. These are people who are part of the company. So we just went amongst ourselves ready to raise this money, and as I'm sure you will be aware, tough out there raising money. It's the, you know, the Brexit story, it's cold, it's this and the other. So I'm particularly proud that we've managed as a team to put this together in such a short time.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? There's different kinds of fundraisers. You know, when a company is raising, because they have to expand quickly, and that's not a problem. You know, especially if the main man, like yourself, puts a big chunk in as well and owns a big chunk. I mean, I don't see the problem with that. I mean, you know, it's when you get CEOs coming on and they need to get the lights on, or it's a lifestyle company. You know, that's what's annoying. But
As you can probably hear from my voice, I'd swap the lifestyle. Yeah. It's kind of been a tough physical couple of weeks as well. But no, I'm very proud of the company, and I feel that, you know, we will be putting out our research note in the near future. We are, you know, we have our numbers, our EBITDA program for the next 3 years. This is the year about making numbers, giving value to what the share price value is, because obviously what is important to do, we have a bunch of assets, lots of bricks, lots of things at the base of the company. But, you know, the EBITDA going forward is important. The fact is, I believe that we have a certain percentage against the EBITDA. And I feel that what is important by the time we put out our, I suppose, the first numbers for the year, which is the interims, I want to be proudly saying, actually, here is the share price. Here is the mechanical value of why it works.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And by the way, we haven't chatted since Dallas. How did that go in Dallas?
Dallas, when we actually started the year rather well. We started in Monaco, if you remember. The Monaco show did double the amount of tickets it was supposed to do. Surprised the Monegas people, really. Yeah. Not a lot of people live down there, but we did a very good number. And I think it's fair to say that they are negotiating to renew. They're very excited by the project. We then went to Dallas, which was, boy, was that cold. It was -2. You think of Dallas as in the heat, but it was cold. We had a critical success. We made the numbers we projected to make, and suffice it to say, we're now talking about more shows for late summer on the West Coast. So we are basically, that worked well. It was hard work, but the guys at Dallas were fantastic. Dallas Cowboys, obviously, a huge brand, and that was a very good start to the year. So I guess we're in February now, but we've hit the ground running, I think, is the expression.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, David, well, listen, I'm going to give you a chance now to sum up everything you've said and everything that's coming in three bullet points. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what you're talking about, but are still not following the story, just give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button.
We own everything we have. So we own the BrickLife brand, which is, if you think that the pump company started Live Company on the 27th of December 2017, we've done a lot in a short period of time. We're on a global brand. We're on a growth program. I think that the BrickLife Touring Zoo program, which we've highlighted today, is like bread and butter. It's money, revenues for the company that we'll see. It will be part of the company. So it's regular income that comes in. And then I think we've got a great future. I do things in threes. I've said that to you before. I've got three things that I'm set my task to do by summer. So this is a company that isn't just static. It leads by, you know, doing new things, or not just new things, exciting elements of what we are already doing. So I suspect we'll be talking a little bit more between now and June. So thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. And chat soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, WRES. Is a ticker there. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Justin, great to be on Vox.
Yeah, like I gotta say, you sent me some pictures the other day when it was absolutely, we had the tail end of Storm Eric, and literally wind and rain lashing at the windows, and you sent me a picture from your La Perla mine there in Spain, blue sky, you know, sun there, looking absolutely crisp and lovely. I couldn't have been more jealous. You know, and it's one of those things that reminds me, why do I live in UK, you know, especially during these months, but yeah, so that's where your main sort of plan is. It was lovely there, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely beautiful sunny day, and you know, we've got the water in the water ponds, and also in the former pit, and it looks absolutely spectacular down at La Perla in southwestern Spain.
Exactly. Well, let's before we go into an update on what's happening there. I know you're sort of exceeding sort of milestones there, hitting targets all the time. Before we go into the detail, just for people not familiar with W Resources, Michael, could you summarise what you're all about, please?
Okay, so W Resources is focused primarily on tungsten in Spain and Portugal. Our flagship mine is the La Perla tungsten and tin mine, which is very near completion of its large-scale 2 million tonne per annum development in southwestern Spain. We also have Regua following hot on its heels in northern Portugal, and we have the São Martinho gold deposit in central Portugal. So three projects, one very, very close to moving from initial production to large-scale production.
Exactly. Well, let's take us through this, because you say in the RNS release, La Perla development advances towards completion, and you've hit a milestone there. You've proceeded, you now produced in excess of 50,000 tonnes. So explain, how are you producing this if you are heading towards completion of the mine?
Okay, so the first thing you've got to remember, and it's one of our big advantages, we have an existing tungsten plant. We're currently producing 20 tonnes a month from that existing tungsten plant, and in February we're feeding the mined ore into that existing tungsten plant, which will give production from that smaller plant quite a big hit. Our game plan through this year, 2019, is to keep increasing the production from the smaller plant, finish the jig, finish the very large-scale concentrator, and move from that 20 tonnes a month steadily in a well-planned way to 200 tonnes a month by the year end. And at 200 tonnes a month, we're generating $3 million US in revenue from our tungsten and our tin. And are in very good position to generate earnings both in the back end of 2019 and in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all going to plan. And as far as you're concerned, I mean, you know, it couldn't be going any better. Is that the case?
Yeah, look, we said we'd commission the crusher in January. We managed to fully commission it in December. Producing, you know, high quality specification product and shipping it to our customers. Look, there's a huge number of things that the team's working on, and I'd be wrong to if I didn't say that they're certainly working incredibly long hours to get everything up and running. But we're checking all the boxes and kicking all the goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, take us through those figures again. So what do you hope to get up to? And let's talk, hopefully, obviously, the price changes all the time. But what are you hoping to generate? Because then we can look at your sort of market cap and think, oh, okay. Because your market, your valuation at the moment is around about £28 million. So take us through the figures, if you could, Michael.
Okay. Well, if we just run with US dollars, if that's okay. So we've got a market cap of about $35 million US dollars. Mm-hmm. We're by the end of 2019, we'll be generating about $35 to $40 million US dollars in revenue. And in 220 off the back of that revenue, that'll be a run rate number. On the back of that revenue in 220, we'll be generating $20 million of profit. So $20 million of EBITDA on a market cap of 35.
Yeah, and if anyone knows about valuations, that is seemingly undervalued, isn't it?
Yeah, well, look, if we look at our net present values of just La Perilla, it's three or four times the market cap of W Resources, and then we have Regula in northern Portugal to come on stream, and some great progress at São Martinho, our gold deposit in central Portugal. So, very good, and look, a lot of things are about execution. The team is building things, commissioning things, getting product to customers, and at the end of the day, that's what will translate into significant results for our shareholders.
Yeah, and just one final thing, what is the market like at the moment for tungsten?
Look, it's pretty good. I mean, the United States economy is extraordinarily strong, and Donald Trump's given a huge boost to defense expenditure, which consumes quite a lot of tungsten. So we're seeing very strong demand growth in the United States. We're seeing Europe in its kind of normal return to its normal kind of mixed state of growth, and with supply shortages and pretty strong European and American demand in total, we've got a good demand outlook, and we're coming on stream at prices which are good for margins.
Yeah. Okay. Before I ask you to give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page on Vox, if someone did do that, what's the next sort of big RNS they expect to get from you? What's the next big milestone you're hoping to achieve, Michael?
Because so many things are happening at site at La Perilla, there's a lot of news flow coming. Probably the next big one is completion of the jig and then the commissioning of the jig. But in parallel, we'll be feeding mined ore to the old concentrator, and that should give a fairly significant boost to that. So we'll run hard on all those things.
Marvellous stuff. Excellent. Well, let's do it then. Three reasons why, Michael, someone should hit that follow button and add you to their watch list, please.
Our flagship mine, La Perilla, which can generate $20 million US dollars of EBITDA per annum, is near completion. There should be a transformation in the share price as we go into 2019. We have other assets that will add significant earnings and cash flow, Regula in northern Portugal and the São Martinho gold deposit in central Portugal.
Marvellous stuff. Michael, good chat to you as always, and no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Justin. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is oil and gas sector specialist Malky. You all right, fella?
I'm very well, thank you, Justin. And you?
I'm all right. A bit bunged up, you know, but it's a change in the weather, I suppose. But you've been the sort of warmer climes, haven't you?
I was down at the Morocco Oil and Gas Summit last week, and very pleasant climbs it was too.
Yeah, and anything you learned there, anything new you learned?
Well, I did learn that Morocco is very much open for business, and they are making life as straightforward and easy as they can for investors to come into the country. And in particular, obviously, you know, UK companies have taken advantage of that. So we've got Sound Energy and SDX and Chariot, who are all down there. Mm-hmm. They all spoke at the conference. And they've all got, you know, good things going on down there. Sound have obviously got Tendrara, which looks pretty good at the moment. SDX have got all that stuff in the Garb Basin, which I'm going to talk about a bit later on. And obviously Chariot are looking to drill yet another well. They've been a bit unfortunate in the last 18 months, but they are. I know that they're looking to have at least another go in the offshore area. So. Yep, Morocco is alive and well.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into some news then. So,
because there's a lot been going on.
Go on, who's first?
Well, I guess I better start, you know, with the most recent, because today we've had a couple of interesting announcements. Obviously, lead off with Coro.
Yeah.
they've announced that they're buying a 15% stake in the Duyung PSC, which is offshore Indonesia. We all knew that with James Menzies taking over, he was the founder of Salamander. Obviously, Coro is going to be a Far Eastern play. And this is really great news for Coro and its shareholders, not least because it sort of de-risks the whole thing, because up till now they've only had the one asset which they bought. They've now got two in the portfolio. And this does give them, you know, a really significant sort of range of prospects. They're paying for $4.8 million up front in shares and in cash, but more importantly, because they've got a huge drilling program, they'll spend $10.5 million funding their part of the 2019 drilling program. they're doing a 3-year, €22.5 million euro bond to pay for all this, and which puts them in a very strong position. This is a very attractive area to be. Lots of upside. Starts off also with substantial reserves, which is good. And there's no doubt that this part of the world is gives them a very good exploration upside, in what the old people would call a prime area of energy real estate, and that's primarily because it is close to Singapore, which is the sort of local huge hub in the marketplace for gas, in particular. I think what they've done here is that they've bought something which will add nicely to their existing asset. They've got reserves, you know, very substantial reserves already, yeah. And they're going to upgrade that, I'm sure, by low risk exploration drilling. So, actually, I haven't seen what the shares have done this morning because I've been a bit busy. But I would have thought that the shareholders will be most interested by this.
Yeah, at the moment they've dropped. They've taken a little dip by 10%. So I don't know. Maybe it's the money or the euro bond or what. I don't know. Because obviously it seems like positive news.
Sometimes these things have been expected by the marketplace, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. It's
We'll have to wait and see, but it's very good news. So longer term, undoubtedly, very good news for Coro shareholders.
Yeah. Okay. What's next, Malky?
Solo is the next one, and they've also made an announcement this morning. They've been in the process of restructuring the business, and Alistair Ferguson, who came on board as the chairman a few months ago, has now moved up to executive chairman. He is one of the most experienced people I know in the marketplace, and he is, you know, he's very, very well qualified to make to be running Solo moving forward from here. current MD Dan Malin has left, but they're bringing in two highly experienced operators from the advisors, which are Gneiss Energy. Doug Rycroft on the operational side and John Daniel on the technical side are both absolutely first rate. So Solo is going to be in the hands of extremely high quality board and advisors. They're already financed for their Rovuma drilling in Tanzania, and they've pretty much cleared the decks. I think this is an exciting play. Already got an asset base, lots of options going forwards. When John, I'd mentioned it a number of times when John Fitzpatrick came onto the board some time ago, this stock wasn't going to sit around doing nothing. It's certainly moving forward. What they've done today undoubtedly strengthens the company. The restructuring has taken a huge amount of cost out. They've sold off a load of peripheral things which they don't, assets which they don't think will do them well for the future, which is pretty sensible. And they're very well placed going forward, I would have thought.
Yeah, and I noticed a lot of people sort of taking a bit of interest in Solo because I know the share price has been under a bit of pressure, and people are saying, you know, they've got cash there, they've got decent assets, and it's just a matter of time before that sort of share price skips up a bit, you know. Solo there. So what's next, Malky?
Well, I'll mention Aminex while I'm here because they raised a little money last week, and you could hear the sort of eyebrows being raised all the way around the investors when they did that. But I think the point is that they've got this huge Rovuma development which is now being carried for them, and they've just thought, well, we've got Kilwani North, which is their gas development, which has got government approval, it's a gas sales agreement, and we spend a little bit of money on that and we get the gas to market and it'll be enormously high value gas. And I tend to agree with that, to be honest. I think that they raised money to drill or to accelerate the drill program at Kilwani, and I think that they will add value, and they will add value that will come straight through to them. I know people think that everything has been terribly delayed, and it has. There's no excuses. The management have taken a lot too much time. But on the other hand, you know, I know that things take longer than almost anywhere else in Tanzania. I know it's very easy for me to say, given the benefit of the doubt and the time, but I think they will deliver if investors have put a lot of patience into this one, and the management need to know. And they've got a new chairman in there, which might be quite useful, because John Bell is a very, very shrewd cookie, and I know him very well, and he's, if anyone's going to get Aminex to make it work, John Bell will. And so I'm going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt for the time being.
Yeah. And similar sort of price action there, the share price. What's next, Margie?
Right, I'll whisk through a few announcements from companies in the last week or so. We've had two or three announcements from Gunnell lately. I think that, things are going pretty well at Gunnell, to be honest. I think that, if you look at what's going on there, they've been announcing, pretty much across the board, a number of up-to-date trading announcements. They've announced last week from the production from their Torquay and Peshkabir fields averaged 113,000 barrels a day in 2018. As for Peshkabir, it averaged 54,000 barrels a day in January of this year alone. The amount of the addition of stuff from Peshkabir has been absolutely game-changing, I would say, for Gunnell. The Torquay stuff added to that very substantially. I would expect, they're going to have it. They will still be drilling. So they've got a number of things on the go there. They've got the nine well, P9 well, is finished and will be coming onto production anytime now. The number 10 well is due to spud this month. So lots more from them. They've announced this morning a reserve update at Torquay, which is good news generally. I mean, obviously, it's flat because the 1p takes production, which is it's the production that I've just talked about from last year, obviously goes out. But on the other side, you know, if they've ticked up 1p production, 1p reserves, which they've done, shows that they're being, you know, pretty competent in the reserves there. So all going well at Genel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, G-E-N-L. Yeah, marvellous.
I mentioned SDX, and we talked about Morocco. While I was out there, they announced two new areas, one at Moulay Bouchetta and one at Lala Mamouna. These are both areas in the Kharb Basin in Morocco, where they are already. And these got potentially very substantial upside indeed. They can fully compatible with what they've got there. Their acreage in this part of Morocco, where whatever they drill for, they tend to pretty much find. And when they find it, they've got markets for it. And as I think I've told you before, that the price of gas to their clients in Morocco is about $10.50. The costs are less than a dollar. So whatever they find, they've got markets for. There's a big, new, brand new Peugeot plant down there. And so, you know, this is, you know, it's compatible with what they've got. They've got the infrastructure there already. They'll dominate that area now. And they'll start a new 12-well program in the second half of this year, in which I suspect, say, the first three will probably complete this year and then the rest going into next year.
Yeah.
And so the Morocco side of SDX is going very well indeed. And we're all going to Egypt at the beginning of April to see how the Egypt side is going, which should look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they've come off. They've been oversold. You know, they bounced. They went down to 33 pence at one point. They obviously so oversold. They bounced back at the 44 pence, and now they're down in between at 39 pence. But I think it won't go any lower than that.
The oil price came down last week. So it was what 1%, 1.5% down or whatever. So it was 5% in total. So, you know, the oil price just a bit under pressure for the moment with the trade talks and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous. What's next? Anything else, Malky?
Two quick ones here. Yeah. I wanted to talk about, I noticed that Savannah Petroleum last week signed a long-awaited binding agreement with the Seven Energy people. Yeah. That's expected to mean that the Seven Energy deal should complete in Q1 of this year. It's what markets, shareholders, investors, everyone is desperate for. The fact that this has taken such a long time means that that they haven't been able to complete it, and the market is just, you know, to be frank, getting a bit bored with it. But we know that it's a massively value-accreting deal, and we just need to get it done and dusted so that we can get all the pluses coming through from Nigeria, and with the deal closed. Everyone thinks that whilst the deal isn't closed, it may not close, which gives you significant uncertainty. Yeah. So this should certainly sort of tidy that up. And of course, they expect to see an announcement soon about the drilling program in Niger, where, if you remember, last year they had 5 out of 5 successful wells. So yeah, Savannah's been a bit under the cosh lately. Again, I would expect news over the next few months to get better.
Yeah, it's almost the corporate stuff is, it's overshadowing the operations, isn't it, really, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll...
I sat down with John Wardle, mm-hmm. who's the CEO at Amerisur last week.
Right.
And we had a long chat about what's going on in Colombia. The CPO-5 block, which they're in with ONGC, which is the Indian state oil company, they've had two substantial discoveries recently, and they just announced that the Calav 1 exploration well was spudded last Monday. that is an out-and-out exploration well to the southeast of the existing block. And then after that, they're going to do the Peacock well, which is to the northeast. And then they'll do two appraisal wells in the middle. There's a huge amount of excitement in about CPO-5. It's potentially huge. I suspect it's huge already, and the market just hasn't worked it out. The board have been buying stock wherever they can, which is always a good sight. But they've had the $93 million injection from Occidental, also this in the last few months, which gives them a chance to push on with the Platinum and Putumayo. And so I think things are going incredibly well at Amerisa, and I don't think the market has by any way worked out what it's worth. Shares should be massively higher than this.
Yeah, well, at least we've seen that bounce. And, you know, for a while we're saying, where's the bottom here? And I think we have seen it now, because we had a massive bounce there from 10 pence up to sort of 20 pence, doubled. It's so settling back, consolidating around 17. So I don't think they'll ever, revisit those lows again, you know?
If I bought oil shares, I would buy this stock anytime.
Well, there we are.
There you go. I want a quick word on President Energy. They had a trading update as well while I was away.
Yeah.
Very, very strong performance, as we know there, with the numbers which will in the have the results will show a massive leap in revenue and EBITDA. Production at 3,300 barrels a day is also significantly up, and an indication of how well they've done drilling their well prospects. They've got the gas reserves coming through now where they've been successful, and the gas is now not only powering all their drilling operations in the area, but it's either being sold as gas or power. So that's another wing for them, and doing extremely well. They'll have a drilling program this year. They'll be doing workovers and recompletions and drilling exploration wells. And President looks very, very well placed this year.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? I've just seen, going back to SDX, I've just seen a picture of their stand at the Egypt Petroleum Show. And I've got to say, that needs to win an award for the flashiest and most impressive stand.
Well, when I was at the airport coming back with them the other day, he showed showed me that picture, and I thought it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And they've knocked that up with their head man on the sort of graphic, and knocked it up with a company on the internet, and so it can move there at very little cost, but with fantastic imagination.
Yeah, I've got to explain. So part of the front of the stall there, the stand, is massive letters SDX, and you walk sort of in through that bit, and it's a very impressive looking stand. It beats most of them, don't they? Literally, they are a bit of frame, and that's it. But that's impressive bit of kit there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Malky, thank you for that, fella.
Just one more.
Go on.
I thought I'd better mention one more, because I get lots of people asking about a thing called Anglo-African oil and gas.
Yes.
You'd have heard about it lots in the last couple of weeks with all your investors and so on. They did have a successful discovery. The TLP-103 well, which everyone had been waiting for, did flow oil from the JNO, DJENO target.
Yeah.
And a decent column of hydrocarbons without being extravagant. And whilst this is very good news, you might wonder why their shares have done nothing. When I looked at them last time, they were still 10p, which is what they did before they announced the well and what they did the last raise at.
Yeah.
They can still produce from the Mingo and above in the shallow, which is good. But I think the reason the shares are low is that the well was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah,
it was twice as expensive as it should have been, and shed load longer than it should have been, and so they won't be able to drill any further with this heap of. And when you look at it, it needs a lot of work above ground as well. So bottom line is this company's going to need to raise more money, and so everyone's had a result. The people who thought, the people who thought that it was going to come in are correct. It has come in. It's got oil and gas for the future, or oil certainly for the future, but it's going to cost money. So shareholders are going to have to put their hands in their pockets to pay up for that, which is difficult. But in the longer term, the investors should be happy.
Yeah, well, it's an investment, isn't it? You put your money up.
Correct.
Marvellous stuff. Thanks for that, Malky, and we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Justin. Have a good week, mate.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Big Dish. It's in the food tech sector, very highly competitive, acquisitive sector. And if they disrupt, which they're trying to do, well, I think they could do, because they're a good guy behind them, our CEO there, in Sanj Naha, then one of the big guys could take them out. It's a very interesting app, very simple, very easy to understand, very effective. Dish is a ticker. At four, it's Coro Energy. Just chatted with them about Malky. At three, Tuple. I did a video on the weekend, and I highlighted Tuple as a company that should have an update out sooner or later, because they do that pretty much since last September. They've done an update every month, and they missed January. So I'm thinking, one should be coming along soon. And I do point out some of the fundamentals of the company there on the video. Just search for Justin Waite on YouTube. At two, Clough Natural Resources, CLNR, the second most followed. And number one, another company I did highlight in the video, actually, Sabian Technology. It's a minnow, valued at a million market cap. It's gone up today, but they're doing an update this week, which could show whether their £10.4 million pipeline is starting to convert. And like I said, they are a £1 million market cap company, so we'll see. But it's risen on that expectation. Okay, top five most liked RSS are as follows. At five, Solar Oil, corporate and operational update and board changes. At four, £1 million placing a non-binding term sheet signed with Sprott to raise an additional £3 million, Metal Tiger. At three, Savannah Resources, SAVP, contingency of, SAV, not SAVP, not Savannah Petroleum. Continuity of lithium mineralization confirmed. At two, Extract Resources, the Zambia Copper Exploration Agreement. And number one, most liked RS, come from Coro Energy, acquisition of interest in Deung PSC. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.